Good morning. This is October 19th, 2025. We're continuing our study of The Master Speaks on Chapter 7, God. And he begins with, when we say, I am God, or I am a law unto my universe, we are not saying that a human being is God, or that a mortal is spiritual. Never forget that it would be nonsense to try to spiritualize mortal man or to make God out of a human being. That has been one of the mistakes of religion throughout the ages, setting apart some individual and making him God, taking some person, some human being, and making of him a God. Now that, of course, includes Jesus. A lot of religion looks at Jesus as if Jesus was God. That's not true. God was Jesus. God was Buddha. God was Krishna. And God is you when you die to self. You must create an opening through which God can flow. The truth is that only God is God. But God is the individuality and the identity and the reality of each one of us when we have overcome our sense of humanhood. Often, when you see people who work from the standpoint of I am, you will find them confused, walking around saying, I am God. They are the very people who are apt to be walking around with an empty purse, a diseased body, or a pair of glasses. And yet they continue to say, I am God. You can see how ridiculous that is, because that is not God at all. I am God. That I is a universal, infinite, omnipresent being, and it is the reality of your being and of mine when the human sense of self has been overcome. You do not lift the human sense up and make it immortal or spiritual. That is the reason treatments that say you are spiritual or you are perfect or you are rich are of so little value. Such statements are not true at all. Now, how do we overcome a personal sense of self? We can't do it in one fell swoop. Otherwise, we would all be out picturing God. Then how? Like everything else on this path, it begins in your meditation. Where is this I? I in the midst of thee. And so this I, this God, is in the midst of thee, in the midst of me. And it functions when the little I, the personal sense of I, is surrendered. When you lay down your life, you can pick it up again at will. So I, in the midst of thee, am God. And in your meditation, you prove it. Can you imagine a Rockefeller or a Carnegie or any man of recognized wealth walking around saying, "I am rich"? And you almost never hear a healthy person say, "I am healthy." When you make these affirmations, it is because you believe you are the opposite. You are trying to fool yourself into believing that you are something that you really are not. When you simply repeat the words, "I am God," that is not true. But when you hear those words within you, that is truth. That is God announcing itself as the reality of your being. When you hear a voice saying, "Know ye not that I am God?" you have heard truth. And in hearing that truth, all that is human, all that is mortal, disappears. At least it disappears in a measure. And as more and more you hear the still small voice, there will be less and less of the human or humanhood to be dispelled. This is confirmed in the statement of the Master, "I have overcome the world." He did not say, "I have improved myself in this world's goods," or "I have improved the health of this world or the wealth of this world." He said, "I have overcome the world." And again, you will find that same idea in his statement, "My kingdom is not of this world." My kingdom, the Christ kingdom, the spiritual kingdom, is not of the human world. You cannot bring the Christ into the human world. But you can overcome the human world and find that kingdom within, where the Christ is king. Okay, that's pretty plain. In our favorite passage in Luke, you will find, "For all these things do the nations of the world seek after: things to eat, things to wear, and things to possess." What are the nations of the world? Who are the people of the world? Are they not those whose consciousness is centered on things? The people who dwell in an atmosphere of things, acquiring things, or needing things, 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 always things. The nations of the world are seeking things, but not you, not ye, my disciples, ye of spiritual consciousness. You are not seeking things. You are seeking the conscious awareness of God as the reality of your being. Now, is that true of you? Are you asking for help so you can have things? So you can improve your income, so you can improve your health, so you can improve your companionship? Or, seriously, are you seeking to come into the conscious awareness of God's presence? And are you seeking that for just the experience of God's presence? Or are you seeking that so that God's presence may bring you these things? We must be honest with ourselves. What are we seeking? Okay. That is all you can ever seek in this work. the conscious awareness of God, and that attitude reaches its ultimate in Paul's declaration, "I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." When you say Christ liveth in me, that is not a mortal speaking. The mortal, the human being, the planner, has faded out of existence, and you have become the witness to the activity of the Christ, to the life of the Christ. You are now watching the Christ work in you and through you and as you. See, you come in your meditation to experience I in the midst of me. And then that I begins to express. As you rest back in it, then it lives in, through, and as you. You are setting aside humanhood and living in your Christhood. When you are not thinking, planning, worrying, fearing, doubting. In other words, when the human mind is less active as a thinking apparatus and more active as a state of awareness. And what's the difference there? We know we want the state of awareness. What's the difference between awareness and thinking? When you sit down, if you're going to cogitate and contemplate, you may have I in the midst of me am mighty. And you start out thinking those words, I in the midst of me am mighty. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. And so my spirit in the midst of me am mighty. Mighty. The dictionary says that mighty is a great warrior with great force and courage. And so I in the midst of me am a great warrior with strength and courage. But what am I warring against? I am warring against nothing. This is not a warrior that fights. This is a warrior that is, like El Capitan, one of the largest mountains, very strong. And that's how I in the midst of me is, very strong, very still, very solid. And so you may begin in your meditation with thinking, I in the midst of thee am mighty. But as you progress in your meditation, as you sink down deeper and deeper, you will find the center of your being. And in the center of your being, when your thinking is the witnessing of God in action, watching God unfold, then you are living more of the Christ life and less of the human life. The more you find it necessary to plan your days, weeks, months, and years, the more you have to take thought for your life. The more of humanhood is in evidence and the less of spirituality. On the other hand, you are living your Christhood in the degree in which you find your work given to you to do each day, your supply provided, and all your activity unfolding in a normal, natural way. And when that happens, you can then say, I, God, is the reality of my being. You have reached a place in consciousness where you understand the meaning of I am God. This I, which becomes the law unto your being, is not the conscious thinking. It is the divine consciousness of your being, revealed in the degree in which conscious thinking, in the sense of planning and struggling, fades out of existence. Now, does that mean I'm not supposed to plan my day? Let's say that I need to go by the bank, go by the post office, and go by the grocery store. Am I not to say to myself, okay, this is what I'm going to do today? No, there's nothing wrong with saying, this is what I'm going to do today, and then doing it. Provided we keep the roof off. We stay open to guidance and direction, so that if we say to ourselves, and we act on it, I'm going to the post office, we may get the direction while on the road. No, stop at the post office, then go by the bank, then go to the grocery store. Or, no, go to the bank, then buy some groceries, and stop at the post office on the way back. So we remain open to guidance and direction. God is infinite individuality. So this I in the midst of you am infinite, but individual to you. We do not annihilate ourselves or destroy our individuality in this way. We increase it, but at this period we must understand that God is infinite in its individuality, and that therefore God is expressing that individuality as individual you or me. It is still God, but it is God appearing as you or as me. Because that is true, you can say, I have overcome the world, or I and my Father are one, or I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, or I am the way. Anything that will give you this sense of I, and that will at the same time subordinate human selfhood, not glorify it. Glorify thou me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Glorify thou me with all thy glory. Let everything I am or do be God in manifestation, not the glorification of my personal knowledge, personal awareness, or personal achievement. See, this is a way of standing down and sitting up at the same time. To be glorified with God's glory leaves no room for us to glorify humanhood, and to call that humanhood God, or even to call it spiritual. Humanhood is not to be spiritualized. Humanhood is to be overcome. And again, you don't do that all at once, unless you've had some previous experience. You do it in degrees, or it appears as degrees. You do it first in meditation. You overcome humanhood and experience the conscious awareness of I in your midst. It will never be necessary to overcome anything of a spiritual nature. But you must overcome this world. You must overcome personal selfhood. You must understand the Master when he says, I can of mine own self do nothing. He was turning away from his own personal powers or conscious thinking and recognizing the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. That Father within is the I, or I am, or reality of your being. Only God is God. This is the teaching of the infinite way. Only God is God. Man is not God. The infinite way never teaches that man is God, but God being infinite, God appears as infinite individuality. God appears as the allness of you and of me when we have overcome the world. When we have overcome the temptation to be concerned about that little I, when we are no longer taking thought for that little self, then we can say, I am God, because then it is actually true. Now, in your asking for help, are you asking for help for an individual humanhood? Because if you are, you're still barking up the wrong tree. Heretofore, our attention in the world has been centered on persons and things. It did not make any difference in what form the things appeared. The emphasis has always been on health, wealth, harmony, home, or companionship. The transformation that is necessary now is a complete about-face, to where thought is focused on our consciousness and the ability to let that consciousness flow forth in whatever form is necessary to our unfoldment. And so we do not take thought for anything, for any person, or any demonstration. Nothing that appears in the world of form is our concern. Now think of that statement. Nothing in the world of form is our concern. Nothing. Now I know we don't like to hear it. However, this includes, in the world of form, your home, your house, your life, your spouse, your children, your grandparents, your neighbors, your country. Nothing in the world of form should be your concern. The only concern you are allowed at this stage of your development is that you reach that level of spiritual consciousness, that you are consciously aware of consciousness. You are consciously aware of I in the midst of thee. That should be your concern. And your work, and your progress, and your conscious awareness. This does not mean that we are eliminating persons or things from our experience. On the contrary, as concern for the people and things of this world lessens, we usually find ourselves with more of them, only now we utilize them in their right sense. For example, if a ring comes to me, I wear it and enjoy it, but there is no sense of possession, no sense of its being mine, or no sense of desiring it. It just comes and I put it on, and I enjoy it. Now the same thing can be true of clothing, or of friends, or of relatives. It can be true of marriage. Whatever consciousness brings to me, I use and enjoy. But there is no sense of possession, no sense of needing anything, requiring anything, or desiring anything. There is only the realization that God, as my consciousness, is appearing to me at all times in every form necessary to my experience, watching as it unfolds from day to day. In this way, all power is placed in consciousness rather than in things. You see the difference? Now I have practiced this with my significant other, realizing I in the midst of me am God, and I am appearing as whatever the need fulfilled is. And so it is I. Be not afraid. We take the first commandment and realize that all power is in God, the consciousness of my being. And because the nature of God, or consciousness, is infinite intelligence and divine love, it not only knows our need before we do, but it has the love necessary to provide whatever is needed for our unfoldment. Therefore, when we are centered in the truth that I and my Father are one, the Father is revealed as the infinite divine spiritual consciousness of individual being. Its nature is infinite wisdom, divine love, and it is therefore forever pouring itself forth as my harmonious daily experience. God, my consciousness, is appearing to me each day in the form necessary for the fulfillment of that day. This is the trickiest, most subtle thing. You're not allowed, or you're not supposed to be allowed, to want things. You're not supposed to want the right companion. If you have a longing for the right companion, that's personal sense. That's duality. If you have a longing for the perfect piece of property where you can build the perfect house, well, this too is personal sense. If you have a longing for perfect health so that you can go out and do things and not be in pain, this again is personal sense. And so all of this has to be surrendered. Do it in your meditation at first. And there in your meditation experience, I in the midst of thee, your consciousness, God. And then as you are walking around, you begin to practice the same principle. I in the midst of me, flow out from me, reveal your day, a day you have made, eternal in the heavens. And then watch. Bear witness to God in action. Bear witness to consciousness. Bear witness to I in the midst of thee. All right. I hope you remember that before listening to this talk, you have a period of silence. Open up the door within you to consciousness, and let I in the midst of thee speak to thee. God is fulfillment, is the next section. The word fulfillment, filled full, is an important one for us. We are always filled full. We are always a state of fulfillment, since it is God fulfilling itself as our individual being. It is God fulfilling its glory, its grace, its power, and its dominion as our individual experience. We must come to that place where God pours itself forth as us, through us, in us, and for us, and God must become a living reality. Yes, the living God. I in the midst of thee am the living God. There is a teaching which states that God is divine mind, a formless substance, and that we impress our desires upon this mind, and then our desires come forth into form. Now, I've heard that teaching. I went to hear a fellow in Los Angeles who spoke very eloquently about this. And if you want a new automobile, you need to impress your desire upon this unconditioned mind. And when you do that, your car will come forth. And at the time, I was new to metaphysics and excited about it, and I practiced this. I wanted a new automobile, and since we had foster children, I needed something with some seats in it. And I finally decided that a Dodge Caravan would meet the need. So, taking this, not this teaching, but the teaching he's talking about, into mind, I got a picture of a Dodge Caravan and I placed it on my refrigerator so I could see it every day. And every day that would remind me and impress that into this unconditioned divine mind. And oh, I practiced it. And sure enough, after a period of time, I was able to take my current car and trade it in on, yes, you guessed it, a Dodge Caravan. And I liked it. It had captain seats and cup holders and stereo and a lot of seats back there for children and a seat next to me for my spouse. It was perfect. Perfect in every way. So I've discovered that that form of metaphysics works, but not always. Because Christ, or God, or I in the midst of me, wants me to go higher, wants me to be freer than all this messing around with forms and trying to make them appear. And so I came into the infinite way. My spiritual teacher at the time gave me a copy of The Art of Meditation. And oh, I loved it. It felt so right. And there's a chapter in that book that saved my life. Now, I practiced and practiced and practiced until I came to see it's not about improving my welfare. It's about surrendering that sense of self that has a welfare. And then it's about practicing the principle. Well, he calls it here fulfillment. He says, there is a teaching which states that God is divine mind, and that we impress our desires, and then they come into form. This teaching makes of God a vehicle through which we can get what we want. Yeah. The Infinite Way approach is a reversal of all that. In our work, we have no desires, no wants, no wishes. We have nothing to impress upon the divine mind. We are not taking thought for what we need, because we do not know what we need. We do not know where we should be tomorrow. We have no idea, furthermore, of what place we are destined to fill in the spiritual scheme of existence. Therefore, our attitude is the reverse of any such teaching which would use God. The divine intelligence, or consciousness, being infinite wisdom and divine love, knows our need, and because the nature of God is to fulfill itself as our individual unfoldment, it does all things needful without our even being aware of what we need, want, or desire, or where we should be. Now, be sure this is not an attitude of let God do it, since that would involve a sense of separation from God. Now, he has that in his wisdoms, where he says that this asking God for guidance at this stage of our spiritual growth is practicing a sense of separation. Here I am, little me, and there's God, infinite God, and I need your guidance. Please give me your guidance. Please. Well, that's a sense of separation. And I can tell you that any prayer uttered during a sense of separation will not be answered, because there's no separate God to hear it. I, in the midst of me, practice that, feel that, know that, I in the midst of thee. What can you pray to I in the midst of me? What can you pray to that which knows your need before you do? Really, you're left with one thing. Thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. This is so fabulous. Once you get the gist of this, walking around with the inner experience of I in the midst of thee, life becomes, well, quite wonderful. You don't have to seek things. You don't have to try to demonstrate things. Things are no longer on your mind. And so, no, this is not an attitude of I'll let God do it. That would involve a sense of separation from God. It is rather the understanding that since God is my very intelligence, I am always intelligently governed. Since God is the divine law of my being, then any experience is always expressing divine love, perfection, harmony, or good. Since God is infinite good, and all that the Father hath is mine, this infinitude of good is pouring itself through into expression as my experience. This teaching is not fatalism. It is not a resigned acceptance that whatever happens, God did it, or I will take whatever God sends me. Such an attitude is duality or two-ness. This way is the affirmation and reaffirmation of the great truth. I and my Father are one. All that I have is thine. The place whereon thou standest is holy ground. God is forever fulfilling itself as our individual experience. Then in that consciousness, in that conscious awareness, we can say, let truth manifest itself as it will, since its will is only in the nature of infinite wisdom and divine love. Do you see the difference? There is a God. God is. Harmony is. We cannot create that harmony with our thinking. And so, walking around saying, harmony is, harmony is, harmony is, will produce very small results. But, he says, through thought, we can become aware of the fact that God is infinite law, that God is infinite, divine principle, forever expressing itself as the harmony, wisdom, intelligence, and love of our experience. And so, in your meditation, do not gain the intellectual understanding that God is infinite, that harmony is. But if you do have that understanding, then become still and listen and let it be spoken within you, I in the midst of thee am mighty. That is knowing the truth, and the truth then makes us free. Know the truth. Do not be concerned with the things of the world, whether they be a home, money, a job, or an opportunity. Be concerned only with the realization that God is fulfilling itself as your individual experience. That God, the consciousness of your being, is always appearing as the form necessary to your unfoldment. Keep your thought steadfastly on God. Keep thought continuously on the source and substance, and not on the effect in which or as which God is to appear. So we are giving up things, we are giving up meditating on things, we are giving up demonstrating things, and we're coming into the conscious awareness of the living God in the midst of you, me, us. I in the midst of thee. This is what you want, the conscious awareness of this I in the midst of thee. And how do you make the transformation? You make it by practicing the presence. As I step out this door this morning, God is just as much on the other side of the door as He is on this side. As it is on this side. And you practice the presence. Before you finish your parking at the job or at your volunteer work or at the Infinite Way Library, you know this truth. I in the midst of me am functioning always as fulfillment. I in the midst of me fulfills itself as I stand aside and become a beholder of Christ living itself. You become a beholder. Your function is to be the conscious awareness that I is functioning itself through you. The instruction is to take no thought for things. Let your thought be centered in I in the midst of thee, and rest in it until it moves you. It moves through you. It moves inside of you. You feel it. Ah, there I am. This is I in the midst of me. Thank you, Father, for this I. Now this I is in the midst of you. This I is in the midst of me. This I is in the midst of all that is. But our attention is focused on things. It's focused on health, on wealth, on serenity of purpose. When it should be centered on I. Now you can't draw a picture of I. You can't describe I. You can't even pray to I. But you can gain the conscious awareness of I in the midst of thee. Let your prayer be listening, feeling, discerning this I in the midst of thee. It's very much alive. And I, this I in the midst of me, and the Father are one. And so how far is God from me? God is my Father, in the midst of me, closer than breathing, nearer than my hands and feet. I in the midst of me. The presence, the omnipresence. Stand still. Be a beholder of I in the midst of thee. Let it come through into your conscious awareness. It comes from consciousness and it bleeds into your conscious awareness. And then Christ liveth my life, becomes a living reality, not something you read or something somebody said. It becomes the reality of your being. let us draw close to this I in the midst of me. Let us feel its presence. Let us behold its fulfillment. I and you are one. Be still and know I in the midst of thee am God. Stand ye still and behold, I am the way, I am the truth, I am your life. You thought you had a separate life, something you needed to ask me to help with. And all these many centuries later, you have discovered I in the midst of thee. Now let I live itself. You behold, you bear witness. You have the conscious awareness of I in the midst of thee. And behold, I come quickly. This is the experience when someone asks you for help, and before you can even close your eyes, the presence is in your conscious awareness. You are consciously aware of I in the midst of thee almost instantaneously. I come quickly. And so, of course, the next section is omnipresence. Omnipresence and ever-availability of God. The secret of this principle with which we are working, called the Christ principle, is the omnipresence, omnipotence, and ever-availability of God. The entire message of the infinite way can be summed up in the words, the omnipresence, omnipotence, and ever-availability of God. That is the whole of it. Once you have attained the consciousness of the presence of God, or the conscious awareness of I in the midst of thee, you can take all the Infinite Way writings and throw them away, or give them away. You will no longer need them, because you will have the essence of their teaching, the understanding of the infinite nature of God, its omnipotence and ever-availability. This sense of God's presence and power is the principle that you will want to give to your children, or that your patient or student will want to give to his children. All right. You see how important this I in the midst of thee is? Your conscious awareness of I in the midst of thee is your key to the kingdom of Christ on earth. Christ on earth. Ah. I want to thank you, you know who you are, for drawing forth, putting forth this message of I in the midst of thee. I have come that you might have life, the living presence of God. I, in the midst of thee, am mighty. It's not by might, not by physical might, nor by mental power. Both of those must be laid aside. And then behold, my spirit, I in the midst of thee. You can't get a hold of it, you can't hang on to it, but you can bear witness to its movement. You can bear witness to its fulfillment. You can bear witness to it living itself where you stand. Be still, my friends, and know I in the midst of thee. I am the way. Thank you. God bless you. And I have but one desire, and that is to see this I in the midst of thee living itself where you stand, where you appear to stand. And so come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and relax, rest, stand still. You are not needed here. I, in the midst of thee, will live myself. Behold, I am the way. Why struggle? Why strive? Why seek? When you can behold God fulfilling itself, I in the midst of thee. God bless.